The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, for they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome in a special way our confirmation students. They've been on retreat this weekend. Glad to have them with us at Mass, finishing up their retreat today. All the readings this weekend, doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, all the readings kind of come together in focusing on the theme of the scriptures. And the theme today is sin, in particular, original sin and its effects. We look at the effects of sin. In our teaching, based, of course, on scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we speak of the doctrine, and again, it is a doctrine, it is a truth of the faith, of original sin. And original sin, of course, we're all, I'm sure, very familiar with this. This is the doctrine that our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell from grace, fell from that relationship of harmony and peace with the Lord, and through their sin, through their disobedience, brought about a brokenness in our world. And every succeeding generation experiences the effects of this original sin. And so we look around the world and we see that there is something extremely fundamentally off about the world. There's something very wounded and broken in our world. Now, we don't believe, as some of the Protestant reformers taught, that as a result, human nature is totally depraved. No, we don't believe that. That is not part of the doctrine. It is broken, it is still good. We are still fundamentally good. However, we are wounded by sin. However, original sin has affected everything. It has affected our wills, our desires, even our bodies, and our thinking, and so on and so on. And certainly, as the doctrine of the church on original sin says, our sins affect not only our relationship with God, so it's never just in the Christian life, and in fact, our Holy Father just pointed this out recently in one of his talks, it's never just me and Jesus, never me and just God, it is me and the whole of creation. This is something, again, in our modern society we've lost touch with, is the sense of responsibility. We're in this together. And so our sins have an effect not only on others, but on the whole of the temporal reality. We call that the temporal effects of sin. Okay? That's why, for example, the doctrine of purgatory, the temporal effects, that our sins not only affect our relationship with God, but they affect our relationship with one another, and in fact with the whole of creation. We see that in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, when they fall, what happens? God explains to them their consequences of their fall means that even the created order is set off kilter. It is wounded by their sins. G.K. Chesterton, famous English Catholic writer of the 19th century, said that the doctrine of original sin is the one doctrine there is no doubt, there is clear empirical evidence for. Look around. Turn on the TV. We don't even have to go that far. We look in our own hearts. And many of us experiencing a brokenness, a woundedness, tendencies to sin. St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, he says, who will save this wretch, referring to himself, from sin? He says, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. We're going to get to that in a moment. Again, one of the ironies of modern life is that you and I belong to probably the most privileged generation in human history. When we look at the perspective of technology, medical science, science itself, technology, everything, we are, in fact, the most blessed of every generation. We have so much available to us. And yet, we seem to be a generation that is more obsessed with self and having, as a result, more problems than any previous generation. Self-help books, psychologists. Now, we need those things. Don't get me wrong. But it seems there is, no matter how much our culture is telling us, technology will save us, this will save us, have more, possess more, buy more, all of that falls short. And rightly so, because that is not the answer. I mean, we look in our world today, there's lots of examples. I remember a number of years ago when Michael Jackson died, and they started to talk again about what lie behind, you know, some of the real shadows and demons that Michael Jackson struggled against, dying, of course, on an overdose. The psychic wounds from his life. A very, I think, iconic figure who had everything, who was known for his shopping sprees and spending exorbitant amounts of money on things, and yet was fundamentally a very unhappy person. Again, I've heard people who've come to me for counseling and advice who have been told by others, well, all you need is a good counselor. All you need is, you know, this book or something like that. Well, those things, yeah, they can help. There's no doubt about it. And many a time I've sent people to get counseling help. However, that is not the answer. That is not the final word. Again, as believers, there is, again, that most fundamental problem of sin. A spiritual problem. A spiritual problem that needs to be addressed in all of us. And the answer, as I said before, Paul cries out in the letter to the Romans, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the answer. Christ is the answer to our sin problem, to the world's problem of sin. And that brings us, of course, to the gospel. St. James as well, in the second reading today. What does St. James talk about? We're going to see this developed in the gospel a little bit more. He says, beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is that, first of all, pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Again, Jesus taught us that I give you a peace that the world cannot give and cannot take away. That comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit, that comes from the gift of our faith. So Jesus is the answer. You know, as St. James is pointing out, and of course, human nature hasn't really changed all that much, all that drastically at all. He's pointing out, again, the world, the selfish ambition, jealousy, all those things, all those fallen tendencies in all of us. He says that's what the fruit of that is. You know? He says it produces disordered, how does he say it exactly? Disordered and every foul practice. You know, and that's the brokenness within us that he's talking about there. And Jesus, as he is going to Jerusalem to offer his life to the Father and for us, out of love for us, he is sharing with his disciples this most intimate reality. And you think about this. Now, here is Jesus with the 12, and he's sharing his heart with them, that the Son of Man, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, and then I'm going to rise 3 days later. He's sharing in a most intimate way with them the plan that why he was sent into the world. You know, the ego is a very powerful thing. The ego, the Greek word for I, the driven, in a sense, the fallen, driven nature inside of all of us that's broken. The me, you know, that feeds my wants, my needs, my comfort, and strives for the kernel. How many times in the gospel does Jesus warn us about this? The parable of the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus, sitting at his door. Again, what was the sin of the rich man? It wasn't that he was rich. It was that there was somebody at the door, his very door, in need, and he ignored him. It says he ate finely every night, he dressed well, but he ignored his neighbor, and that's why he ended up in hell. The man who had the great harvest, Jesus tells in the parable. And instead of sharing, you know, here he is, he's been blessed with an abundant harvest. And instead of thinking, well, you know, I need to share this with others. You know, are some of my neighbors in need? You know, I've got more than I need. And that's what he says. I've got more than enough. I'm going to build bigger barns, build bigger silos. I'm going to put it all away. I'm going to sit back and say to myself, self, take care of yourself. Enjoy. Have a good life. And God says, you are a fool. Very strong language Jesus uses. The parable of the last judgment. I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat, Jesus says to those condemned to eternal separation from him. Again, over and over again, the Lord is reminding us in the Gospels, you know, that struggle in all of us, that battle. Are we going to give in to our carnal needs? Are we going to give in to our comfort zones? Are we going to give in to doing what I want, my agenda, or am I going to open my heart and look around me and see what the Spirit is asking me to do so that I can be a part of the healing of humanity? A friend of mine from back home in Canada sent me a newsreel, I think I posted it on Facebook, from the CBC. A young couple in Turkey, newly married just the other day, decided to take the money they had saved up for their wedding banquet, and they used it to feed 4,000 refugees in their hometown. Now, I thought to myself, you know, first of all, what a beautiful gesture. I don't even know if they're Christian or not. It doesn't matter. But I thought, what a beautiful gesture. How sensitive this couple was to the needs of those around them, of the situation. And secondly, what I thought about is, you know, if that was our attempt, I'm not saying we all got to do that, but if we all had that sensitivity, we would change the world. We would change the world. Again, as I said, I mentioned this, I think, last Sunday. A Protestant friend of mine was talking to me and saying, you know, well, they're all Muslims. They're coming into Europe. They're going to take over. And I said, well, really? Well, I said, well, why is that? Because Europeans aren't having children anymore. The population in Europe is like 0.01. There's going to be no Europeans left in a few generations. Whose fault is that? Is that the Muslims' fault? No. The Muslims love families. They have large families. They welcome children. They see them as a gift. And sadly, in our culture, that's become just the opposite. You know, look at the controversy of Planned Parenthood that's going on in the media. This is our attitude towards life. Is it any surprise what's going on? And I said to him, I said, and besides, are these not just human beings in need? And this is how we welcome them? We put a barbed wire and fences. We don't even try to help. Keep them on that side. I said, if I was a Muslim at the border of Hungary or Croatia, wherever it is, and I saw that, would I want to be a Christian? No way. I said, there's something fundamentally wrong with that. And that's why I was so blessed by that news item of that young couple. And there I saw in the video, here she is in her wedding dress, all beautiful, this bride, and her husband in his tux, and they're giving food to these refugees in their hometown. I thought, again, how powerful. We would change the world if we would have that sensitivity. If each one of us would have that sensitivity to those around us, we would change the world. And again, back to the gospel. Jesus is sharing with them, his own disciples, his intimate band, the plan of the Father. He's going to die. Now imagine if a friend told you, well, I'm going to die. I've got cancer. Well, what does it say? They did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Well, let's just ignore Jesus. We don't like what he's saying. We're too afraid to ask. I think there was more than that they just didn't understand. I think they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Interestingly, in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this prediction of the Passion is recorded three times in every Gospel. He said it three times to the disciples. And then when he finally gets, they stop to break. He asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? And they it says they were silent. They were embarrassed because they realized what they had been discussing. Here, Jesus sharing his most intimate struggle, his gift to us, to them, to the world, and they were talking about who is the greatest. I'm the most important. Again, the ego, how powerful it is, and how it always wants to take over. And so what does Jesus do? He takes a child and he places it in their midst. Well, we think, well, isn't that cute? Well, that's not the point. That's not how people saw children back in the days of Jesus. We tend to romanticize. We think of children as precious. Well, sure they are. Of course they are. But only 200-300 years ago, people didn't see children like that, and certainly not in the time of Jesus. Children were unimportant. They were powerless. They were insignificant. And that's exactly why Jesus takes the child and places it in their midst. And he's pointing out to something to them. And again, it goes back to what Jesus has been telling them. Sacrifice. Powerlessness. Get rid of your egos. Put aside your ego struggles and be vulnerable. Be powerless like this child. Be vulnerable. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. And Jesus will help us. He'll help us. Our fears, our stubbornness, our pride, our resistance to the Holy Spirit. But we have to ask. We have to ask for help. So what are we to do? Just a couple of things. What are we to do? First of all, fundamentally, we must acknowledge that we are a sinner. What, if you cannot bring yourself to acknowledge that fundamental truth, you will go nowhere in the spiritual life. Absolutely nowhere. You will not grow in the spiritual life. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner. In other words, we recognize our brokenness and our need for God. Often I've said in the confessional, people come in, they're discouraged by their sins, maybe they're fallen into a pattern of sin, they can't seem to get over it, they can't seem to rise above it, so they're very discouraged and they want to give up, and I tell them, don't give up. You keep coming to confession, doesn't matter. The Lord will help you. Two things I say to them. You need to ask the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't overcome this sin on your own. People will just think, well, if I just try harder, if I just do this or I read this book, well, yeah, all those things are good and important, but ultimately, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to change us. And secondly, what I tell them is, listen, God does not convict us of our sin, so he's saying to us, you are a lowly worm, you are no good, you're nothing. That's not why God does it. God pricks our conscience. He moves in our hearts so that we can recognize sin because he loves us and he doesn't want his children to be enslaved to sin. It's an act of love when God moves our conscience to be aware of sin. Think of the alternative that many people, and you probably know some people like that, they're deep in sin, but they think they're doing great. That's very scary if you ask me. Thank God for the grace that the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our sins. So as I said, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to make you open and docile. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where do I need healing? Where has my ego taken over? Some things that can help with that. Well, of course, regular confession. Penance. You know, intentionally doing something sacrificial. Fasting. It's not just for Lent. Fasting is to be a regular part of our lives as Christians. It is a powerful spiritual tool to personal reform and openness to the Holy Spirit. Prayer, of course. Some people need a deeper prayer, more help, deeper healing. And we have in our parish the Unbound Prayer Ministry, which has helped a lot of people. And that may be something you need. That's wonderful. A lot of people have been freed from those sort of deep realities of sin through the Unbound Prayer Ministry. And thirdly, what is God asking of you and me? You know, again, that tendency in us, we're jealous of others, what others have, their talents, their life. Be content with what you have, with what God has given you. And be content with who you are. Stop asking for more. And ask rather in your prayers, Lord, what do you want me to do with the gifts in my family that you've given me and the workplace where you've placed me? That's the prayer we should be asking. Not, Lord, I need this or I want this. That's the prayer of the world. James, St. James says that in the second reading. You ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly. People don't ever quote this passage in St. James. They quote the passage, ask and you will receive. If two or three gather in my name, you will receive it. Well, there's other parts in the scripture about prayer. And St. James brings that up today. You ask wrongly, he says, to fill your carnal desires. So ask rather, Lord, what do you want me to do with the gifts you have given me? Every one of us has important gifts. We don't need to be jealous of others. We don't need to be worrying about the gifts that God has given others, the family or whatever. God wants us to work right where he's placed us. St. Irenaeus, one of the great martyrs of the early church, he said this, the glory of God is man fully alive in Christ. Now listen to that. The glory of God is man fully alive in Christ. In other words, God rejoices. He is glorified. Why and how? When we become fully alive in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Our God, who is filled with glory, who lives in glory, is in fact glorified and rejoices in heaven when we simply respond with generosity, when we say yes to God's plan for our lives, when we're fully alive in Christ. You may be struggling. You may be having a hard time. You may have a certain area of sin that's difficult right now. But are you striving? Are you going to confession? Are you praying? Are you seeking help? Are you doing what the Lord is asking you to do? Are you serving? Are you looking for ways to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters? Then God's going to meet you there, and he's going to glorify himself in you. I want to end with this prayer, Blessed Mother Teresa. She wrote, this is part of a letter she wrote near the end of her life. Father Benedict Rochelle, who was a very dear friend of mine, died a couple years ago. He was a very close friend of Blessed Mother Teresa, and he shared this with me many years ago. They think she may have edited this prayer, this little poem, from someone else. Doesn't matter. It's beautiful for what it is. She shared this with her sisters as kind of one of the last things she wanted to tell them before as she was preparing to meet the Lord. And so this is what she said. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyways. If you are kind, people may accuse you of being selfish, of having ulterior motives. Be kind anyways. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others might destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. God bless you.